Welcome to the Midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and as promised, we have some wonderful live music from, well, as it turns out, all South American during this hour of the Midday. My guests performing here in the Buck Studio, Stephanie Judd and Thomas Kasdor, flute and piano, respectively. Thomas has been with us several times now, I think, first through the Perlman Trio performance and then a couple of other times since then. Stephanie, one of the founders of the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society, has been here several times too, sharing her flute artistry. And Thomas is going to be silent partner today because of a cold, but you'll hear his piano. And welcome, both of you.
Great to be with you, Norm.
So, South America, you've been down that way on some special mission.
I did. I had a wonderful first time ever sabbatical and traveled to Buenos Aires, where I lived for a few months. And I remember when I first arrived and I found out that they had a 24-hour tango station, radio station.
Where else?
And it was fantastic. And over the course of the time that I was there, I learned about Argentine composers who I'd never heard of up in this part of the world. And so since I came back, I've been planning a recording project, which is happening this year. And now I'm learning the music that I chose. And this is the first performance of these pieces for me, and they're absolutely marvelous, marvelous pieces.
Is there a way to even characterize them?
Well, I think so. The things that we're going to be playing today are primarily from Argentina. Well, they are all from Argentina and Brazil. So the Argentine pieces seem to sort of vary between a few different kinds of sensibilities. One of them is a real, I would say, folk and indigenous sensibility that where you can hear Andean music and Indian rhythms and themes very clearly. Another kind is sort of like a colonial Spanish kind of a feel, which is very, very beautiful, but, you know, maybe more reserved and, I don't want to say predictable, but it uses folk elements in a more refined way. And then the third kind is like the music of Astor Piazzolla, which is what we're so familiar with now.
To itself.
You know, really fabulous jazz-tinged tango music that is called Nuevo Tango. So I would say that kind of sums it up.
Now, I think at least I have the notion that the flute is a very pervasive instrument in that music town there. Is that true?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, there are all kinds of folk flutes, right? There's the folk flutes that are like the cana, which is a notched flute, kind of like a shakuhachi, that is played all through the Andes. And then, of course, up north, you see all the Peruvian flutes, which are like the panpipes or the sicus, which are very prevalent all over the northern half of South America. So I think flute has always been, simply maybe because it's the oldest instrument besides drums, that you find in any part of the world.
So wonderfully portable, too.
Yes, that's right. You can stick it in your pocket.
Anything in particular about the flute you're going to be playing these pieces on?
My instrument is just a silver flute. It's a beautiful Western flute. I think it's made by a wonderful Boston flute maker, Lillian Burkhart. And it's probably the best instrument I've ever had.
Is the same one you use when you play with the Madison Symphony?
Yeah, it's the same one. It's a little bit temperamental, like if you had a Ferrari or something like that. You have to always kind of be paying attention to it and asking it, what does it need? And if you just do that, everything works great.
Well, I'm sure it'll work great today. Let's start then with this first composer you've selected, Rosita Iglesias. What can you tell us about, Carlos Guavestino, is Rosita the name of the piece?
Well, there's a group of pieces that are all together called Las Presencias, and they're by Carlos Guastavino. He was born in 1912, died in 2000. I think never abandoned his very, very tonal roots. This particular number is number 7 in the group, Rosita Iglesias. And when I first heard that, I didn't really understand the Spanish, and I thought it was about a church. But it's not. It's about a woman named Rosita Iglesias. And we think she probably was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Evoked here by the flute.
Thank you.
Rosita Iglesias by Carlos Cuevas. Why do I stumble on that? Guastavino. There we go. reminding me a little bit of Enrique Granados, the Spanish composer, who would be sitting there minding his own business. A woman would walk by, and he'd rush upstairs to his piano and compose a piece about her.
Oh, how nice.
yes, it was nice. Stephanie Jutz, our flutist today, and the pianist Thomas Kasdorf, and we have a program of Argentinian and Brazilian music for this hour of the midday. Well, as long as you've mentioned him, Stephanie, and he is the, I would guess, the most prominent of composers from Argentina.
You mean Piazzolla?
That would be the one.
Well, he's certainly the most famous these days. unless you're an art song aficionado and you happen to know the music of Guastavino, I'm not really sure that I've ever heard of an orchestral piece or even a chamber music piece that I've ever heard. So, yes, I think Piazzolla is probably by far the most famous. Well, Villa-Lobos is very famous, too.
Well, Brazilian, yes.
But for Argentines, yes. For sure.
And inevitably associated Piazzolla with the tango.
Yes, he revolutionized the tango. He created a whole new genre. He took it out of the colonial times and put it right smack into the middle of the 20th century and, well, the latter half of the 20th century. He grew up partially in New York and partially in Buenos Aires, so he had all the sounds of 52nd Street in his ear as a kid and really was very immersed in jazz but wanted to be a composer. And the story goes that he went to study with Nadia Boulanger in Paris, and he played her some of his stuff, and maybe she wasn't that interested in it. And then she said, well, what kind of music do you know? You know, and he started to play her his own ideas about tango. She said, well, you should do that, you know, do that. That's the thing that you really know, and that's where you can really make a contribution. So I think after that, he never really looked back.
Yeah, I think she called that one right. Well, this one is called Tanguano, and it's by Astor Piazzolla, one of his many, many tango-oriented
And I'll just tell
pieces.
You before we play it, I picked this up in just a regular music shop in Buenos Aires, just flipping through the stacks to see what they had to sell. And this arrangement, which is, you know, it's an arrangement for these two instruments, was not even, they don't even say who the arranger is. So I'm sure there is some person out there who put this fabulous arrangement together. It's got a great piano part, just like the last piece. It's such a beautiful piano part. So all the things that we are working on together are very piano-centric, let's say.
Well, that's great.
Thanks.
So this will be Tanguano by Piazzolla. Thank you. plenty for everybody to do in that one. Mr. Kasdorf was doing quite a little riff over there in that.
I know. It's fantastic. It's really fantastic.
That was by Astor Piazzolla, and it was called Tanguano. Just off the top of your head, Stephanie, do you have the sense that some of Piazzolla's tangos can be danced to and others are more abstract?
Here's the difference. When you go to a dance in Buenos Aires, they call them a milonga, they do tangos that are pretty much stay in the same tempo all the time. That's how people really dance. But if you go to a show tango, a tango show, they do pieces like this that they could take the time to choreograph for all the different tempo changes. I mean, you couldn't expect any ordinary dancer to follow all those tempo changes, no. Right? But they are fabulous when they're choreographed. So in Bach Dancing and Dynamite, we've done that. You know, we've invited dancers to choreograph these pieces, and I'm sure we'll do it again because you can imagine the movements in your mind when you hear it, but you couldn't just do it off the top of your head.
Or the tips of your toes.
Or the tips of your toes.
Well, let's see. You have this series of pieces by Villa-Lobos. It's going to take us from Argentina to Brazil. And we'll hear a couple of them before we get to our quiz question at about 12:30. The first is called Chord of the Viola, which makes it sound not like flute music, but I gather there's been some change there that made it that way.
Well, we're not going to even think of these as songs that mean something since I'm playing them instrumentally. But
yes, sure.
I think they stand on their own as instrumental pieces. I hope you'll
think. So often the case. I mean, that the title is not to be taken too literally. And then this is such a typical Villa-Lobos title, Forest of the Amazons.
I have to say something about this. This comes from a movie called Green Mansions.
Based on a very strange and wonderful book.
Yes, and it starred Audrey Hepburn and Anthony Perkins. And I'm dying to see this movie. It takes place, of course, in the Amazon.
So here we go. This is Chord of the Viola and Forest of the Amazons by Villa-Lobos. Thank you. Well, it does sound like it would be a wonderful movie soundtrack, doesn't it? Yeah. Forest of the Amazons by Villa-Lobos, before which Chord of the Viola, and we'll be hearing more from Villa-Lobos and more from flutist Stephanie Jutt with pianist Thomas Kasdorf. And we'll also get to our 12:30 quiz question, all of that right after this here on WPR. And now back to Stephanie Jutt and Thomas Kasdorf and Villa-Lobos and several more of these Brazilian masterworks. What would you like to get into next?
Well, we'll go on to the song about the Marquesa de Santos. And this particular song seems to be about a very high society person who's very much in the constraints of society. It's very colonial sounding. And then going on to a very serious and beautiful song called The Song of the Sailor or The Song of the Mariner. We can finish that little set either after that or after Nesta Rua on our street.
Okay, well, let's see.
See how the timing goes.
Yeah, all right. We'll start with the Marquesa and the Sailor and see where we go.
Thank you.
two more, by Vila Lobos, the Marquesa de Santos, and Song of the Sailor. And I think we can accommodate a couple more of those before we get back into Mr. Guastavino. So what do we have next, Stephanie and Thomas?
Nesta Rua and Napope.
And Napope, I gather, is just an ancient Brazilian melody.
Absolutely.
Does it? Yeah.
Set by Villa-Lobos, you know, in his way.
Yeah, he did so much of that, didn't he?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a great example of how somebody is incorporating these indigenous melodies into a real classical piece, I guess you could say. It's got a wonderful style. Miniatures by Vila Lobos. Our street would be Nesta Rua and Napope. Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think so.
Who's going to call you on that one? Now, we started the program today, or the midday, with this piece called Rosita Iglesias by Carlos Guastavino. And now we have something which has a more classical title to it, Introduction and Allegro.
And it's one of the only pieces that we're doing that is really written for flute. Maybe it's the only one. Yeah, it's the only it's the only one. So I have no idea what the origins of this piece are, but it is very fluty, and it also has marvelous, tricky, fun rhythms to work with.
Well, I've been enjoying these rhythms from both of you quite a bit today.
I know, it's the first time I've gotten to play with Thomas in a recital, and it's just been a joy and a privilege. So really, it's been fantastic.
Here we go. Introduction Allegro by Guastavino. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed as if there were some extremely tricky rhythms there for, an ensemble. You really had to almost read the other player's mind to know when to attack.
That and a lot of metronome work.
Yes, that was really quite the impressive bit of rhythm in the Introduction Allegro by Carlos Guastavino. Do you have time for one more other
sure.
encore here?
We have a beautiful... Milonga by Astor Piazzolla. Milonga and Ray, let me just step over here and pick up the music. This is, again, another one of these grocery store arrangements that I don't know the origin of, but it is certainly by Astor Piazzolla, and it's one of his most famous milongas.
And we can Milonga get that in the next 2 or 3 minutes?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Milongas by Piazzolla. Stephanie Judd, our flutist, and Thomas Gasdorf, the pianist. And I can imagine some of the South American music is going to seep into the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society repertory coming up this summer.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks very much for coming by the midday today. It's always
a
pleasure.
Thanks for letting us play, Norm.
Always a pleasure to have each of you. I don't think we've ever had both of you at the same time.
Well, so. This is our first time.
So yeah, and it was wonderful. Very wonderful having you.